Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our Vegas visit with 97-year-old George Paul, originally from Chicago. He had to make it home by himself from Greece as a teenager to avoid getting swept up in World War II there. Back here in the States, he was drafted into the Army and ended up in an engineer battalion as part of the 16th Armored Division. It's been a long, long time, George, but do you remember how you felt about heading overseas?
I didn't know where I was going to go.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about armored divisions and what kind of terrain they had to work in, but I knew that the war in the Pacific was different than the war in Europe was going to be. Because at that point in time, we hadn't landed in France and all that kind of stuff. And we were lucky in that we weren't included in that group. But there wasn't room for us. I guess the U.S. Army was all over Britain. But whatever lot we were given, we'd grumble and moan, and it's the hurry up and wait stuff. But we always looked forward to something that was going to take all of our abilities to be a part of. All of us did. Most of the people who were being drafted during my draft period were in their 30s, and some were pushing 40. They came from areas back east where they were just called surplus, so the draft boards yanked them. But I was happy that I wound up where I did.
Where did you end up, and what did you find when you got there?
Well, we wound up, the whole division was somehow bivouacked in a huge area, I would think. But in our case, the engineering battalion was relegated to an area, it was a farm area. It was northeast of Paris, a long distance. And pretty close to what used to be France's borderline between them and Germany. We were bivouacked in a farm community. My platoon was put above the cow barn. And so that's where we set up our sleeping bags and all that kind of stuff, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I was assigned to another guy who was I think a buck sergeant, and he was truly a carpenter. He was actually a builder. He was in his upper 30s, and he kind of liked his alcoholic beverages. And I didn't know very much about alcohol, but I learned how to drink an awful lot of apple juice. But anyhow, yes, that was a lot of fun. We were on constant errands to find things, but we were kept in reserve as a whole division for about 2 months in that same general area. As a matter of fact, we went to a church, Easter services, in a cathedral. Huge, huge building. Oh my God, that was new to kids like me. Mm-hmm. Who ever heard of a cathedral in Chicago? But anyhow. Yeah, and then after that, we were slowly being pushed towards the east. We wound up going through some areas that were completely devastated by the U.S. forces, minor cities along the corridor that went from where we were into Nuremberg and so forth. So we're about that same latitude as Czechoslovakia. And so that's kind of the way we were going east in the so-called combat zone. So for that, we got a star. But we were not under any fire. But there was another group of our division, what they call the mechanized infantry, and they used to ride on those six-wheel drive units. They were caught in some pretty heavy fire. So they took some casualties, but not in our case.
Were you concerned that that could be something you experienced?
You accepted it. You just didn't, you didn't know what was going to happen. And that was the best part, because if you don't know, you can't anticipate other than be on your toes.
And you know, you talked about a lot of geography there, from France through Germany to what's now Czechia. What are some of the things you saw or witnessed along the way?
It was absolute devastation to see nothing but rubble. To go, when we went through southern Germany, there weren't buildings standing. It was just rubble, piles of rubble. And then from there, you'd be out in the country where the farms were and so on and so forth. And it was just like that from west of Nuremberg. There wasn't anything standing. When you think back on it, that all that had to be rebuilt, cleaned up and rebuilt and so on. Those poor folks were working for years and years, for God's sakes. And we were just going through. Well, that was life.
Well, and I think you got a pretty heavy taste of what life had been like for some of the people who were displaced or oppressed by that Nazi regime.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's true. Yes, even those who were not necessarily oppressed, like the Germans who had been brought into the Sudetenland when Hitler took that part of Czechoslovakia over under the guise that it always was German, you know. You walk carefully, and you walk where you think you're aware of where you are. Otherwise, you don't go there. You find that you're looking out for you and you only, and your bud, if your bud is with you. And so you look for him, and he looks for you, and it works. It's a system that makes two people one in terms of being more effective. I thought that was comforting.
At one point along this journey, I don't want to skip over anything, but you ended up getting an understanding of some of the slave labor that Hitler's regime had enforced on people.
Yeah, that was horrible. Thank God that we didn't see any of those camps where they used to go gas the people. Other guys from our division did see some of that stuff. And I'll never forget the time when we had to go see the movies. Eisenhower said, "Thou shalt." As soon as they broke through some of those camps, why, we saw the movies. It was unbelievable, my friend. You don't know. Made you sick. How could a person do that? That's what we were dealing with. Thank God that war was over.
But you did get to meet and be around and actually stay in a facility that had been used for that, right? Where some women were forced to stay to work for that?
The thing about it was a surprise, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it was a surprise to find it on this man's estate.
Where was this?
This was a village that was just north and maybe a little bit east of Pilsen, yeah. And then between where we were and where Pilsen was, there was a big forest on the southwest side. That's where they had the airplanes, the German Air Force airplanes, hidden. So they weren't in what you would normally call an airport. Mm-hmm. But they did have a runway. And that's where they had Stukas, and they had some maybe 109s. Oh, and then I remember one thing, it was really a show. A couple of U.S. pilots came by in B-51s. They came by two, and so they landed the airplanes on two guys. And then one guy jumped out, he went over to a Stuka, he wanted to fly in. So he got in, and the other guy got up on the wing, and he started cranking it because the batteries were dead. And they got it started, just like, whoop, but they both took off. Well, they were lucky that Patton wasn't there, and he'd have shot him on the spot. And they flew around, and they kind of chased each other and did a few things, and then they came and landed. And, of course, they put on quite a show for us. And that was the day after we got there. But it was playtime.
But the situation where you guys end up staying in this facility that had been to house slave laborers, what understanding did you get of what they had been doing and the impact of it?
No understanding at all as far as what the details were. or what their lifestyle was like, but you could see from the clothing that they wore and their lack of healthy-looking bodies that they were just barely existing. It was horrible. And in talking to some of the ladies who were from Greece and had been used as laborers, they were content in that they were in the position that they were in because they could provide something that was wanted by the enemy, so to speak, and so they kept them fed, mm-hmm. kinda. But they didn't have any fancy clothes, and they didn't have shoes to wear. They were, it was a survival kind of a thing, and there's nothing that we could do because we were told to stay away because we didn't want to in any way harm them. And I guess you could understand that after you stop and think about it, because they're not used to eating what we eat and all that kind of stuff. So I stayed away, mm-hmm. frankly.
Do you have any specific memories of VE Day and why that mattered or what it meant to you?
Yeah, we actually, they had the ceremony for signing the surrender of the German forces in that area, right there at the airfield. We saw that, not that we understood it.
But you were there.
Yeah, we were there. That was the day after we got there, 8th of May. Mm-hmm. It was a nice day. Then we just dispersed and went back to our bivouac. We had our own rooms, our own, you might call them cabins, I suppose, but these were rooms in the building, and this was a honest-to-God castle. It had a huge, huge ballroom, and we had a party, and we invited all the German girls to come, and that pissed off the communists. Oh, that was horrible. Oh, my God. Well, that excited some stray bullets to come. Not that they aimed at anyone, because they recognize the so-called partisans. Mm-hmm. They recognize that they were outshot if they wanted to start another war. But at the same token, we had to be careful because, well, you could get into trouble.
Did you ever get into any trouble in the Army?
No, not there, no. 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 I guess the Third Army wanted to make some of the highways usable for their heavy equipment to go back and forth as part of the Army of Occupation. And so they wanted to build some bridges so that the heavy trucks and tanks could be deployed in the event, because they smelled a problem. There was in the air the feeling that there was animosity between the Russians and the Americans. I won't say any more than that because I don't know. But that was a feeling that we had, just me and my friends and whatever have you. So we went in and we had, in our battalion, we had a guy that was a civil engineer, and he designed the bridge. And he had nothing to work with because there was no steel or anything like that. But he designed a bridge that was made of timber. We had to go out and scout around because we had some woods there. We had to find trees that were of the right size. And then we found a couple of mills that were lumber mills that could machine the woods, the trees, down to big structural elements, so that they could take the loads and so on and so forth. And so we bivouacked right there on site next to the creek. We spent about 2 months, all of us, and my platoon and rest of my company were active in manhandling this lumber and so on and so forth. Had to put up PVs to get the heavy timber up on top and so on and so on. And we finally finished that bridge. And we saw a tank go across it. That was good. It made us all feel like, hey, we did something. Yeah. And it made the Germans happy. Well, whoever lived there.
And where was that?
That was in Czechoslovakia. It's Sudetenland.
Do you have any idea whether or not that bridge is still standing?
I don't know. I've never been back. Ed, I'm sorry that I didn't. I should have gone back, but I didn't.
It would be kind of fun to find out, wouldn't it, if your work stood the test of time?
Yeah, it would be. But I'm sure it's all gone now. I'm sure it's been replaced. The bridge was not in the city. It was on a highway that was a kind of key to the east-west. Then we had a vacation area. There was a couple of spas in the Sudeten area that were near woods. Part of that area was forests. Mm-hmm. And some of these spas had been there since before the turn of the century. And they had the registration book for Prince so-and-so and Prince so-and-so and Duke so-and-so from this country and that country from going way back. Hey, man, we were fed good. Well, it was the same GI meat and all that kind of stuff, but when you got good cooks working for you. So that was good. That was fun. That was a good reward.
It's all about perspective, isn't it? Break time again, but there's much more to come with 97-year-old George Paul of Henderson, Nevada, including what it meant for him to visit the National World War II Memorial with Honor Flight Southern Nevada. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.